Here's Pastor Brian as he begins a new study on justification by faith.
This week in our studies, we're going to be looking at the important subject of justification by faith. It can be said that the essentials of the faith are 1, the deity of Jesus Christ, 2, the Trinity, 3, the bodily resurrection of Christ, 4, the second coming of Christ, 5, the vicarious or substitutionary atonement of Christ, and 6, salvation by grace through faith alone. When dealing with the issue of salvation, it's mandatory that a person teaches and believes that justification, or the way in which we are right with God, comes by faith alone in Christ and is accomplished apart from any works of our own. This means that a person is right with God the moment they place their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, and that not one work or ritual must follow in order to make this act complete. Now, this is a doctrine that the church has had to fight on to hold to and to defend. And at times, the doctrine of salvation by grace through faith alone has been attacked almost to the point where it's non-existent. And in the early 1500s, the church went through what is called the Reformation, which was led by Martin Luther, who was a Catholic monk and a university professor at Wittenberg. And he was an individual that agonized over his own sin, his own guilt before God, a man that wanted to be right with God and struggled to try and find that place of peace with the Lord. And finally, he decided to study the book of Romans, and through the book of Romans is what liberated him to that place of peace and freedom that Jesus Christ has. And in commenting on the book of Romans, he wrote this about his own struggle to find that peace with God. He says, "I greatly long to understand Paul's epistle to the Romans, and nothing stood in the way but the one expression, the righteousness of God, because I took it to mean that righteousness whereby God is righteous and deals righteously in punishing the unrighteous. Night and day I pondered until I grasped the truth that the righteousness of God is that righteousness whereby through grace and sheer mercy he justified us by faith. Thereupon I felt myself to be reborn and to have gone through the open doors into paradise. The whole of Scripture took on a new meaning, and whereas before the righteousness of God had filled me with hate, now it became to me inexpressibly sweet in greater love. This passage of Paul became to me a gateway to heaven." This monk began to study the book of Romans. He began to realize that the righteousness of God was not that God was righteous in demanding payment of sinners, but that was a righteousness that was given freely to the believer, not by works, but at the moment of faith. And then that enabled the believer to be right with God because of the work that Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. And that led to the cry that came out of the Reformation, sola fide, which means by faith alone. And that doctrine by faith, that man could be made right with God by faith, was restored to the church. And I think now today, even that message is being distorted by many churches that want to get off from doctrine, get off from the essential of the faith of salvation by grace through faith alone. This doctrine is found in many scriptures. But as we look at Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, I believe that is the clearest place that we will find it. And we'll read about how man could be made right with God. Paul says this in verse 1 of chapter 4, "What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something of which to boast, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness." Let's give a couple definitions. First of all, the word justification, or to be justified here, appears a couple times in our passage. And this was a term that was used in a court of law, which means to declare righteous or to declare as innocent or not guilty. So when a person was set free of the crime, proven to be not guilty, they were declared to be justified. So it was a legal term that was used in a court of law. Paul picks that term up and now applies it to the individual that has faith in Jesus Christ. Now God the judge says of that individual that you are not guilty, you are innocent, you are not held accountable for your sins because someone else paid the price for you. It is an act of free grace, whereby he pardons our sins and accepts us as righteous in his sight, but does not change us inwardly. Justification is a judicial act of God in which he declares us, on the basis of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that all the claims of the law are satisfied with respect to the sinner. It's important to point out that justification does not mean that God inwardly changes me and I become righteous and God accepts me based on my goodness, but that he declares me to be righteous and that all the demands of the law have been satisfied because Christ fulfilled the law on my behalf. Also, George Ladd described justification this way. The root idea in justification is the declaration of God, the righteous judge, that the man who believes in Christ, sinful though he may be, is righteous, is viewed as being righteous, because in Christ he has come into a righteous relationship with God. Well, you have to ask the question, how could that be? How could God view me as righteous, although I am a sinner and I continue to sin? That's what Paul brings out about the life of Abraham in verse 3. It says, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, this word accounted is translated reckoned or considered or accounted here. And this is a term that was a banking term and was applied when you went and you deposited money into someone's account. You could say that that money was credited or accounted or reckoned to that person's account. Now, here in the passage, it says when Abraham believed God, what God gave to him was righteousness. It was not that Abraham earned it. It was not that Abraham deserved it, but God gave it to him freely. It was apart from works. And some may think, well, Abraham truly was a godly man. He was so godly, he was willing to offer up his son Isaac up on the altar. Well, this is before that happened. It was when God made a promise to him, and Abraham simply believed the promise that God made to him. It says at that point, it was accounted to him for righteous. This was before the law. This was before Abraham's great willingness to sacrifice his son. It was simply on the basis of faith. As verse 4 points out, now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but his debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. So what simply took place is that I, a sinner, deserving of God's eternal wrath, put my faith and trust in the work that Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. And what happened was a twofold act. One, my sin was placed on Jesus, and two, his righteousness was credited to me freely by grace, apart from my works. And once again, I refer to the words of Martin Luther and trying to describe this, because I believe he was one that wrestled through this whole issue and has a real clear and concise understanding of justification by faith. He says this, a Christian is righteous and holy by an alien or foreign righteousness. I call it this for the sake of instruction. That is, he is righteous by the mercy and grace of God. This mercy and grace is not something human. It is not some sort of disposition or quality in the heart. It is a divine blessing given us through the true knowledge of the gospel when we know or believe that our sin has been forgiven through the grace and merit of Christ. And so Martin Luther called it a foreign or alien righteousness, meaning it doesn't originate in our hearts, in our life. It doesn't come out of some goodness that's within us. It comes from heaven. It comes from God. God gives it to us. It's a perfection of Jesus Christ that's been given to us at the moment of faith. And that's how a man is right with God. That's the only way a person can be right with God, is through that righteousness that's been given to us by Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul's trying to emphasize in Romans chapter 4, because 11 times in this chapter, he uses the word credited or reckoned. It's the emphasis there that this has been credited to my accounts. I like to use the illustration of thinking of a spiritual bank account. We come before God with that bank account absolutely at zero. There's nothing in there. Romans clearly teaches that there's none righteous, no, not one. But at the moment of faith, what happens is God deposits into our spiritual bank account, not my own righteousness, but the very righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that enables me to be right with God, to have a right relationship with him. I think another clear passage that Paul used to describe this very thing is 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, which reads this way, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So once again, what took place is Jesus Christ bore our sin on the cross, and he died, and he paid the penalty that we were deserving of. And in exchange, what happened at the moment of faith, apart from works, God accredited the very righteousness of Jesus Christ on our behalf. And that's what makes us acceptable to God. That's what Paul says in Ephesians 1, verse 6. He has made us accepted in the beloved. The beloved is obviously Jesus Christ there. And so the righteousness of Jesus Christ has been applied to us. Charles Hodge described the righteousness of Christ as this: all he did, became, and suffered to satisfy the demands of divine justice and merit for his people for the forgiveness of sin and the gift of eternal life. And so there is no way that we as an individual believer could ever attain to all that Jesus did and suffered and was in his holiness and in his perfection. That's why it had to be given to us freely. Not through our church attendance, not through our church dedication to the services of the church, not through our good works, not through rituals that we would go through, such as baptism or through communion, but only through faith alone in Jesus Christ, this righteousness has been credited to us. And that's what leads to receiving the peace of God, that realizing we're at peace with God and walking in that phrase that Paul says, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. See, when we try and earn anything from God, we fall short. Whether that's earning salvation or earning a continued standing before God, our works are not good enough because they're not perfect. There's sin involved in there. There's things that are incomplete. So that's why we have to come back to that place. But by faith alone in Christ, I've been made right with God, because the righteousness of Jesus Christ has been credited to my account. What a blessed truth that we need to hold on to. This is a doctrine that the Reformers said the church rises and falls on this truth: justification by faith alone. And I believe that not to be an overstatement, because if we don't have this truth, we really don't have the right way that people can be made right with God, and people will turn to works. And those are the very people that Jesus cried out when he was on the earth, and he said, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest for your souls. That's when we enter into that rest, when we realize the work has been completed. As the book of Hebrews says, that we cease from our works and we enter into his rest. And that's my supreme prayer for you as we study the doctrine of justification by faith alone this week, that you'll enter into that peace and that rest, that liberty that Jesus Christ has for all of his children, that you wouldn't be caught into a yoke of bondage trying to earn your right standing before God, but you would realize you received it freely at the moment of faith through the work of Jesus Christ alone, if you exercise faith in him.